What should admonish and encourage a Christian to receive the sacrament frequently? But what should you do if you are not aware of this need and have no hunger and thirst for the sacrament?
To such a person, no better advice can be given than this. First, he
Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I wish I had a much more interesting ending for this midweek series, but these final two questions are a little bit more about practical matters of living in this world. If you believe everything that you've answered in the self-examination up to this point, there really is only one conclusion, that I need the sacrament frequently. Now, frequently is left undefined here. In Luther's day, it probably meant at least weekly, although it might have meant more. Whether it was the village church or the city cathedral, the Mass, as even Lutherans would have called it then, was offered daily. To counter that, you could look up the ancient canon law that merely says one should be sure to go to confession and receive the sacrament at least yearly. The truth is that the definition of frequently probably varies from person to person. There are some who might sing along with the old spiritual, "I need thee every hour." And there are some who might honestly get by with that meets minimum requirement old canon law. Although I'd question the environment. That guidance was written for Christendom, not our modern Corinth. As a piece of our collective examination, we, meaning Mount Zion, must define frequently as every other week or so. The LCMS and convention urges congregations to offer it weekly. I mention it here merely as future discussion. Most self-examination should lead to some kind of ongoing sanctification. But other than thinking a bit about the practical question of how frequent is frequent, the question returns us to the very beginning. What should admonish and encourage us to receive the sacrament? Admonish and encourage. Law and gospel language. And Luther leads with the gospel, the encouragement. Why should we receive? Because the promise of Christ the Lord. And what is that promise? That the sacrament is his true body and blood. That it's given for you. That it's for the forgiveness of sins. That it's the new covenant. The meal that testifies to Christ in our midst until he returns again. It's a means of grace in this world. And a place where God himself has promised to be. But maybe those promises are boring. Maybe having God in your midst just doesn't register. or they don't ring out anymore. Why should we receive? The legal reason is simply our own pressing need. It's a reminder of the first question of the examination. Do you believe that you are a sinner? When confronted by our pressing need, made clear by the law, the gospel promise should bring us swift relief. God has not let your need go without an answer. Like that psalmist saying, "Why haven't you acted?" And he has. And it's in that sacrament. He's given us his Son. That last question of the self-examination has always been a bit strange to me, but these days it seems to be the one on quite a few believers' lips. We might not put it in sacramental terms. We might ask something more like, why do so many not feel the need to go to church? But I think it's the same question. What if I'm not aware of this need and have no hunger or thirst for the sacrament? Luther's answer tells us to look in three places. One of our three great enemies has taken a hold of us if we don't recognize our need. First, it might be our own flesh. Touch and see if you still have flesh and blood. If you are still in this body, there are two things that you should know. The desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. That's the Galatians 5 point. And Paul would, after that, create quite a list of the works of the flesh. And many people find ways to be completely lost in those. Christian, you would do good to be aware of them. But the good news about still being in the flesh is that means it's the time of grace. Repent and walk by the Spirit. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires, and they walk by the Spirit. The second enemy is the world. He should look around and see if he is still in the world. John says, "For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away." Have such temporal desires completely separated us from the eternal? That's what the world will try to do. Run out the clock on you before you can think of things eternal. But again, the good news is that this world has been overcome. Christ is the first fruits of that new creation, the new heavens and the new earth. And you are already in Christ. And the third enemy that might have us completely fooled is the devil, who with his lying and murdering day and night will let him have no peace. He prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Maybe we feel no need because we despair of beating such a tyrant. How could we fight a roaring lion? But Christ, your champion, has already beat him. He's judged. The deed is done. Take heart. In the presence of God, which we have in the sacrament, That old liar can no longer accuse the saints because he's been tossed out of the presence of God. So, why might people not feel the need? The flesh, the world, or the devil has them. If you find yourself there and are hearing this, this is the word of God for you. Repent and believe. For Christ is for you. And you can overcome all of these by the grace of Christ, as all who come to the table are given the victory in Christ. Amen.